Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Hello.
I love it when you start a podcast and you laugh at me. Is it because I'm on tour at the moment, like a girl band?
First, you are like a girl band, but also because you just said to me, I'm just thinking about how many people have had sex in this bed. Can you explain?
Right. So I'm on this tour at the moment with Heart Breakfast and we're going all around the country. So we've been to North Wales. We're now in another secret location. I can't tell you where because it's happening tomorrow morning. And I've just had a phone call from the reception. We've checked into this really old, like old school hotel, which is clearly haunted. Like it's completely freaking me out. They were like, in fact, whilst we were recording the podcast, the kettle kept turning on and off by itself.
Oh, God.
That's freaky. They're like, don't worry, we're going to move your room. So I was like, okay, cool. Where am I headed? And they were like, to the bridal suite. And I was like, to the what? I was like, I don't want to stay in there. And they were like, no, it's a lovely room. And I was like, I'm sure it is. And then when I put the phone down, I was like, how many people do you think have had sex in that room?
Oh my God.
Every single visitor will have had to have had an obligatory shag in that room, won't they?
You say that right, but don't, like, a lot of people say they don't actually end up having sex on their wedding day.
I didn't. Did you?
I did, yeah. I did.
Oh God, when does that ever happen? That's the first time that's ever happened.
I know, but I mean, it's the first time ever, apart from the 2 times I can see. No, I'm joking. We did, but I think we sort of didn't want to, but we felt like we had to. Do you know, like, you sort of feel like you have to, but we both probably didn't want to, really.
That is hysterical. You didn't even want to on your wedding day. That's brilliant.
No, because no one does, do they? Everyone gets back and then they're like, oh God, I just feel so... I mean, I think we got home at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So I don't know. No.
I would love to do a poll on Made by Mamas on our Instagram to find out how many people actually had a quickie on their wedding day just because they felt like they had to.
Just because, yeah, you just felt like you had to tick it off. Like speeches, tick. But, you know, first dance, tick. Wedding night shag, tick. And also, right, this is another question I've got. Your wedding underwear, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I remember getting really drunk on my hen do and going into Asian Provocateur and spending like £600 on wedding underwear, right?
Oh my God.
That didn't go under my dress. Like, I couldn't wear it under my dress. It probably would have taken me about 45 minutes to get into when I got back from my wedding. What is the point in it? Like, what is the point?
I just think you're a bit jaded on life, Georgia. I think we need to take you to a happy camp where we just chant in the woods and realise that sometimes in life you just do things for the sake of doing them.
I do. I definitely do. It's only seven years later that I look back and I think, that was such a weird thing to do, wasn't it?
Do you know what? I did the exact same thing. And obviously we got married in Ibiza. And then when I got to Ibiza, it was so hot and the dress was like sort of quite tight to the skin that I actually couldn't wear any underwear.
No, I didn't.
Do you remember how high my slip was on the wedding? I was thinking at some point as I'm walking down here, hope she doesn't escape.
I love she doesn't escape.
Anyway, how are you? Tell me your news.
I'm all right. I'm good. God, do you know what? I haven't really got much news other than I'm locked out of my house today because having our flooring done. So I went to the gym and then like went to go in and then realised me and Gigi are just locked out. So we're actually camped up at a friend's house today, thank goodness.
Oh, she's taking you in.
She's taking us in. But then it's just, you know, I think it's for the next 2 days and I think, well, what am I going to do? Like, where am I going to go? I can't...
Could go stay at your mate's house.
Yeah, I mean, all of us en masse. I'm sure she won't appreciate that. Like, Judgy James, Axel, like...
She'll suddenly just be retracting her invitation. Yeah, sure. No, you're around as well. All of you.
Actually, I'm busy. Sorry. Our heating's packed up.
You could do. You'd come and stay up in the bridal suite with me if I send you the address. You've
got
around here.
Plenty of room. Yeah, and we won't be shagging in the bed, so that's fine.
Thank God for that. now, we've got a really, really brilliant podcast for you today. And it's definitely a subject that Georgia and I have probably had more conversations about. It's not wedding shagging. It is not sleep, but it's weaning. This is a subject that obviously we tore our hair about. I mean, you actually at the time, I'm just going to chuck you under the bus here. We were slightly smug about your weaning process.
I was
Georgia,
actually.
You were.
Yeah. I was. I you know what? I was really smug and I thought I'd completely nailed it with Gigi. I was like, oh my gosh, she just eats whatever. She eats everything I put in front of her. She wasn't even drinking milk, really, by the time she was like 6 or 7 months. She was only having a bottle in the morning and the evening because she was eating so much. And I was like, And then now, I mean, I'm happy if she eats 3 bites of pizza.
I mean, you were literally like, what, penne al arrabbiata? Sure, no problem, Gigi. A side of garlic bread, yeah.
No, seriously, now... I mean, if we get to 8:30 and she hasn't asked for a sweet, we're doing really well.
8:30 in the morning?
Yeah, she usually comes down, looks at the sweet cupboard and she goes, I need sweets. And I'm like, no, you don't. You don't need sweets. Here we go. Have some avocado on toast. And she'll just lick the avocado off the top of the toast.
Yeah.
She doesn't eat. She barely eats. It's very odd.
Well, do you know what? I don't think it is that odd. I think it's actually a lot of people's reality. And I think loads of people that listen to this podcast you'll be nodding all the way through it, because I think every child has their little hiccups and their kind of phases and their sort of, you know, you think you've got it sorted, you think you've completed it, mate. Yeah. And then suddenly they just start rejecting, pushing food away and becoming quite fussy, or, you know, we'll only eat one type of food over and over and over and over again. And people always, this is the annoying thing about weaning, because people always go, oh, you just put something else in front of them. And you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, fine. I've done that now for 6 months and they're still not touching it. So at what point do you stop putting stuff in front of them because they're just launching it on the floor or not eating it?
And
like, it's really hard to know what to do.
Do you just get annoyed by the waste as well?
Yeah,
like, we're all sort of trying so hard not to waste food, and then yet we put vegetables and things on our kids' plates every single day that we know they're not going to touch.
Not going to touch. Anyway. In fact, I dropped off Kit the other day at preschool. Obviously, we know, you know, Kit, if you put down, you know, a shepherd's pie in front of Kit or a spaghetti bolognese, he will nail it. So, like, I know in that sense, brilliant. But, you know, you try and feed him any piece of fruit or vegetable and he's like that, yucks. So I went to the preschool the other day and they were like, oh, he loves mackerel. You sent mackerel in. I was like, yes, I know. And they were like, we couldn't believe it. It's the first time ever we've seen Kit just gobble something down before his sandwiches. I was like, yes, yes. So, you know, my child doesn't eat, you know, raspberries, but he likes a bit of mackerel.
Well, I mean, that's very sophisticated. I think you're winning there.
The palate on Kit. Georgia, let's get into it. Who are we chatting to today?
Today, we are chatting to weaning expert and author Tessa Kelly.
So Georgia and I have had a conversation about today's guest, wishing that we had her number on speed dial when we were weaning our little ones, because we both had, as you well know, because if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, that we both had kids that were like, meh, and then just chucked it on the floor every time we tried to present something that we had
cooked. I still have that with Gigi.
That's absolutely right. We are going to be speaking to an absolute maestro of weaning today, author, mother. She basically turned her hand to basically everything and knows how to grow a brand out of nowhere as well. I feel like we're going to know about that. Please, let's welcome to the podcast Tessa Kelly. I feel like you're a master of all, Tessa. It's quite hard to do an intro because I feel like everything that you've done is like, she smashed it.
Tessa, for those who don't know you, would you mind just giving like a little brief introduction to, I guess, how you sort of started your various businesses and how, you know, sort of came about to be on social media?
So I used to be London Paleo Girl, and it was only until I changed my Instagram about maybe a year ago that people were just like, oh, we just thought your name was like paleo or something like that. So I first started as I got glandular fever and ME, which I know you two ladies both had as well, which is, yeah, it's such a common thing and it completely wipes you out, doesn't it? It's it's horrible. And I had that, and I basically, a friend of a friend said, have you heard about the paleo diet? And it's all about kind of a whole kind of wellness and a very kind of natural way of healing you, and has helped a lot of people. So I thought, right, it's very new, but I'm going to kind of really get into this, because the doctors prescribed like antidepressants and said like I was getting mild ME, and I was like, right, I need to have a big shift in the way I kind of look after myself. So so basically my whole account, I just started this sort of blog and Instagram, like showing recipes and showing my journey, and found that a lot of other people were going through it. And I connected like with a lot of people that way. And it's a very kind of sort of 360 approach on kind of food and exercise and like lifestyle and sleep and basically everything of looking after yourself. So that kind of basically just was my foundation of getting better. And it just sort of led, I guess, into businesses I started. So I started a frozen yogurt company, which was vegan. And it just kind of grew into, you know, I had all this passion for kind of like healthy living. And it basically just took from this sort of blog and Instagram account and documenting like a diary, basically, into creating businesses. So that kind of started, and then I started an influencer agency, and with a girl actually who I ended up living with, who was a friend from uni. And it's so weird, isn't it, how you get into these like situations and how you meet people and everything. And then we did that, and then we basically worked right up until, and my Instagram account just sort of very organically grew, and was working with like lots of different brands. I was working up until the day I gave birth to Clara. And it's been a very strange 2 years, as I think everyone would probably agree.
What, just having a baby, or having a baby just at the start of lockdown?
With COVID, with going from being like a sort of business mum, a woman, I guess, to now being this like mum that I'm still figuring out.
Tessa, can we go back to what a paleo diet is? Because as far as I'm concerned, and what I've been told, is if it grows from the tree or grows from the ground or falls from the tree, you can eat it. If not, you can't touch it. Falls from the tree, grows from the ground. That's it.
Basically, it's like how our ancestors lived. And it's about having things that are like sort of like not overly processed. And I think we live in a world that is like 100 miles an hour. And it's kind of, and you know, there's a lot of things where from like disease comes from by being like highly stressed and all these sort of things. So it's basically like taking it back and putting us in like the jungle or something like that. I mean, okay, that's probably a bit extreme. I'm just thinking because of like I'm a Celeb or whatever, but just kind of like, you know, that more sort of natural living. And I was someone who was like go 24/7, like I thought there was like 10 of me, and that and I think it did make me go like, right, I need to have like 8 hours sleep to get better.
Yeah.
I need to like slow down, I need to look after my body, I need to nourish my body, always, because I knew if I didn't, I was just going to like burn out again. So I kind of called it like modern day paleo, because a lot of these whole like very traditional sense, like we are in the 21st century now, so we have to live in a way that is kind of manageable and feasible and realistic. It's a very, I don't know if it as well, like the last sort of couple of years, this whole like diet culture and everything has got quite, a lot of bad press.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things going on that you just think, you know, it's too much. And we've kind of now gone the extreme. And I think that's why I changed my name on Instagram, because I didn't want to be associated to a diet, because I don't believe in diets. I just believe in kind of a healthy sort of, you know, living life.
No, do you know what? Yeah. That totally makes sense. And that's, you know, Zoe and I sometimes talk about, we feel like we can't say if, you know, we're dieting or anything like that, because no one wants to hear about it. And I guess it's about finding that balance. So when you had glandular fever and then you discovered the paleo diet, and you sort of stripped everything back, how old were you, and sort of what stage of your life were you at when that happened?
So I was actually, I remember it so well. I was graduating from uni and it was like my graduation ball. And it was that evening. I was like, I just felt completely wiped out. And in a way, I guess I was quite lucky with the timing that I'd basically finished all the exams and finished everything. But it was hard kind of going from this sort of high of finishing to then going, right, I'm now, my plan is to move to London. And I've got, you know, the jobs I was planning on going into, which was events, which is so, you know, high energy, full on. And I just couldn't do it. So that's why I had to go, okay, I'm going to have to go self-employed. I had like three different jobs and I was like, I can basically work when I'm well enough to work. So it kind of took me down a different career path.
It's got a funny tag to it, glandular fever, because it's obviously known as the kissing disease, right? That's what you grow up thinking you get it from. I was 10 when I got glandular fever and it took me out. I wasn't snogging anyone at 10. Yeah. It took me out for 3 months of school. I basically had to have loads of acupuncture to recover, my immune system boosting, various. I mean, I went down the Chinese herbs route, which obviously isn't for everybody, but that's kind of the homeopathic route is where my mum was really big into it. But it has definitely had a long-term impact and effect on my immune system. And for a very long time afterwards, anytime I got any form of bug, any form of illness, whatever it was like, bang. And still now it's definitely my weak spot. Like I can get very, very, very tired. So I guess, are you saying that the benefits of kind of cutting out refined sugar, you know, getting your 8 hours sleep, drinking lots of water, all of those things, you know, to do with paleo, that has a huge impact on becoming well?
Yeah, it definitely has. And I think, as I said, you know, just make it into that kind of general lifestyle thing. And then as soon as I noticed I started to get better, I think obviously, you know, like when you have a child, you're like, okay, I don't have my like 8 hours sleep and it is stressful and, you know, you don't have so much under control, but I felt a certain way that I knew I can, you know, I know how to look after myself a lot better, and things that weren't just a short-term fix, you know, they were like a long-term lifestyle change. But totally with you on the acupuncture, like I lost my period for years. And when I actually got pregnant with Clara, I wasn't having a period. And I went to this event and someone said, it was like this sort of female sort of like health sort of specialist. And she was like, oh, how's your period? Because I know you haven't had one for years. And I was like, oh, I still haven't had one. And she was like, oh, you do know you can't get pregnant if you don't have a period. And I was like, at the time I was like 7 weeks pregnant. So I was so confused. I was like, yeah, I need to have this first scan because I don't know if I can believe I'm pregnant. But anyway, before then I was having acupuncture once a week, and she definitely kickstarted, you know, something down there, because I got pregnant. And then, you know, and then after then, I mean, Clara and things, I actually then started to get periods. So it's like incredible.
Wow. Yeah. So were you actively trying to have a baby and that's why you had acupuncture, or were you actively just trying to get a period so that eventually you'd be able to get pregnant?
A bit of both, really. Like, so I had acupuncture maybe 2 or 3 years before we then conceived, and it got my period back, and I went to this like amazing little sort of like Chinese acupuncturist, and I felt this like drop in my tummy. And by the time I got home, I was like, oh my God, I have a period. And that had been like the first period in years. And then when I said, oh, like, yeah, like we said, oh, I think we want to start trying. And then I thought, I'm going to have to get acupuncture back. So I had maybe 5 or 6 sessions, and then I didn't get the period back, but I got pregnant. So amazing,
yeah,
isn't
it? Tessa, do you know what? I swear by this, and I've said this on the podcast before and to Georgia privately, that I think that the reason that I fell pregnant naturally after them telling me that I wasn't going to is because I went to see my acupuncturist, Kevin Bell, who's absolutely incredible. He works out of Houston, actually, if anybody that's listening that needs a great acupuncturist, because he hooked me up to, you know, I obviously having the acupuncture into my ovaries, but then he was hooking me up to the sort of electro machine that was stimulating my ovaries. And I really do, look, there's obviously people out there that are going to go, no, I don't believe in acupuncture and whatever, but it really, really did work for me. And I think the health benefits are so good.
Yeah. And do you know what as well? I just think anything holistic is so good for your mind. Mm. And your mind is like controlling your entire body, not scientifically, like in a really holistic state. And I think that's so important. Like I was quite into like all the pucker herbs, you know, everything that's like the reishi mushrooms and stuff. And I swear all of those things really also helped build up my immune system. Yeah. And a doctor may say, oh no, like, this tablet will, I'm not backing anything. But I just think like whatever, it's worth trying everything, isn't it?
You found out you were pregnant, and then how was your pregnancy? Because I guess if you've had to really look after yourself, you know, to not get run down and eat well. Yeah. And then suddenly you're pregnant. I know as soon as I've fallen pregnant before, my good diet has gone out the window and all I've wanted to do is eat beige food and
mashed potatoes.
yeah, literally potato and
chips, fish fingers, anything.
So how did you cope? Like when you, I guess your mind is telling you, no, I really have to, you know, eat well to be okay. Yeah.
So do you know what? It's actually, now I'm pregnant again now, I've realised how different pregnancies can be. And I presumed it'd be the same with Clara. And I was working like 24/7, and I was probably going to like exercise classes maybe four or five times a week. I was eating not that different. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong, like beige food was for the first trimester I was loving, but I could still eat everything else. So for me, it was like quite, you know, it was quite normal. And it wasn't probably until I got to like sort of 4 or 5 months, I was like, oh, I'm getting a lot more tired now. Like socially, I found it quite hard. I had a few hen do's and I was like, I'm wiped out. So then I was like, right, okay, I've got to slow down. I've got to look after myself. And I kind of took each like sort of week by week. And I thought the whole time I'm feeling good, I'm just going to keep going. And this pregnancy, oh my God, like it has been completely different from, I think, maybe week two. I felt so sick. I have literally like, I had nausea probably up till about a week ago, and I'm 20 weeks now. And I've just like, I felt horrendous. I mean, eating like vegetables or, oh, just haven't been able to really do it. I've been having to like be like a child. I've had to like things I'd make Clara, like an omelette and or pancakes, where I'm putting loads of veg in, I've been like having to disguise them because I'm like, that's the only way I can get them down. So it's been like, I feel like I've had a lot more of a normal pregnancy that most people have this time round. And I'm still sort of thinking, you know, I still have the back of my head. I'm like, I've got to look after myself, as does every, you know, every pregnant woman. But I've had things like my toenail fell off last week. My big toenail. And like,
my big toenail fell off last week. My left one.
No.
My big toenail fell off last week. And you know what? It's so weird because my husband was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I think it's because of the trainers, but are you going to tell me something else now?
Well, so when I saw the doctor, she just laughed and went, oh yeah, like, you know, she said, when you're pregnant and you have kids, they take so much from you, you're basically left with nothing. And you basically just like, yeah, you're expected to fall apart. I was like, that's really, really nice advice. Thank you. But to be honest, I thought maybe she's right. Like, I've had lot of hair fall out. I've had, you know, I feel like my body sometimes, Adam's like, oh, what's wrong with you now? And I'm like, oh God, I don't know. And I was like, you know, sometimes I just feel quite disheveled, I think generally as a parent. But
what did you do with the toenail? Because I took mine to the nail salon. No, I know, but this, and they glued it back on with some special like acrylics thing. So it's,
Have they? Yeah.
I'll show you, George, privately.
No, I'm all right. Thanks. I don't want foot pictures sent over.
I just had like new shellac on and I was loving my like Christmas nails. So I'm absolutely devastated that I now have got this massive foot that is just like completely nailless. And I mean, I'm lucky it's winter because if I had, you know, even my shoes, I'm going to have to, oh, I don't know. It's so, just,
somebody on Instagram, somebody really well known, I can't think who it was, basically had the same thing happen to them. It must have been a couple of weeks ago. And then they said, I'm just painting the skin now. I'm just painting the
rest.
Who was it?
I don't know, it but it really made thing. Me feel a That's bit really, sick.
Yeah.
But it's
sorry
like,
about that.
It's, I was expecting like blood and all this. No. I don't know why, but my mum actually was up helping me look after Clara and filming something for me at the time. And I was like scuffling along in the kitchen, and I had my sock on, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, what has come into my foot? Like, it was like something's in my sock. Took it off and just whacked up this like big shellac nail. I was like, oh God. I just thought, yeah.
But just chucking in the bin.
That we've shared losing a toenail
together
this week.
That's it now. We're friends for life. Let's talk about your book, because there's going to be lots of people listening to this that are on their weaning journey. Just kind of, I guess, firstly, do you feel like you've completely nailed weaning? And how was that process for you? And then just tell us why you wrote the book.
Okay, so in parenting, I think if you think you've totally nailed something, you feel like you're winning, and it probably lasts a second, and then something else happens and you're like, right, I'm not winning now, am I? So I touch wood. I feel like I've been really lucky with Clara, and I had a good friend of mine, the children's dietitian. She's amazing, and she helped me a lot, and I was so lucky to have her. And I think she specializes in like sort of like fussiness, and she's very into like all the nutrition side. And I think I was very lucky to have her. And I feel like we kind of started on a really good foot. We were in lockdown, so my husband was also, he was a pilot, so he wasn't working, so he was home. So we had a lot of time to like, right, we're gonna like nail this sort of thing. And it did go really well, and we have like, now she's nearly two, sometimes she just won't have things, or she's got a lot more fussy, and you know, she's like quite strong-willed, so she knows what she wants and she doesn't want. But I do think that we sort of said like, we want to create something together, let's do this book together. So it's a lot of, you know, his input in it as well. Oh, brilliant. And I just wanted to have something that was like this relatable sort of journey. And we both love cooking, so we did a lot of the recipes together, and it was basically like our kind of lockdown project, really. And I wanted to do it because I was like, there was so, I had like five weenie books, and I was like, one, you don't really have the time, do you, to just like sit down and read this entire book, and you know, so much, like an overwhelming amount of information that you kind of get so stressed about it. So I was like, I want to create this book that basically like my best friend could pick up and go, right, what's like, let's get rid of some of the crap in a lot of them, and let's like, no offense to people that write all that, because I'm sure they're great, but you know what I mean, let's just focus on like what's important and how can I get all the main information into this book that I can get into bed, look on my phone and read when I'm in bed a couple of different chapters. So it kind of hopefully gives that relatable kind of sort of encouragement to start, and to start on a good foot. Because, you know, I had a lot of friends who've gone through it as well, and they're like, I can't get any vegetables in my kids, they only like sweet stuff.
Yeah.
And I think because we started so well with Lucy as well, so Lucy, the dietitian, she like contributed a lot to it too. And I think together we just sort of like, I don't want to say nailed it, because that sounds really big-headed and I don't mean it to sound like that, but I think it was like a, it just wasn't too much information. So I thought, I'm just going to share all of these points, put it into this ebook, and our favourite recipes, and just,
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
I guess from your background, if you know, you've been focusing on your diet for, you know, so many years to try and make yourself better. Was it hard to not, I guess, obsess with what you were giving Clara, as in like you wanted to make sure everything was, you know, perfect and balanced? Or did you sort of think, no, I'm not going to put this onto her as well?
Yeah, I actually started very kind of like we didn't introduce fruit or anything sweet to begin with. We really stuck to like getting in like the bitterness and all of like the hardcore stuff and introducing all the food groups. And I don't eat meat. So this was like quite a big conversation. It was like, a lot of my friends were, are you going to feed her meat? Are you going to do this? And Adam and I kind of sat down and we're like, look, we want her to make her choices. You know, I ate meat up until I was 25 or something. So I was like, you know, I don't want her to have any allergies. I want to do this properly. And I kind of, I guess, yeah, we did go in like that. And now she's got older, we have been a lot more relaxed. So like at birthday, went to a birthday party the other day, she was having like, you know, the normal kids food. And sometimes, you know, every day I might not give her like refined sugar or I might do that. But for parties, I wanted to be that kid that can go to a party and eat absolutely everything and eat, you know, the entire cake. Like it's, I think there's a very fine line between wanting to bring her up to sort of like eat well and quite nutritiously to then that very fine line between then obviously eating disorders. And I don't want to put her in a place where I'm sort of, you know, having her restricted and all of those kinds of things. And I don't want her to have a lot of things that I went through. So I want to kind of really create this like very healthy sort of approach.
Balance.
And
yeah.
Balance
and understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really tricky. And like you said, it's almost a bit of a knife edge with it. Like you can give all the advice and bring them up in the right environment. And yet still, like we always say, George, one thing can kind of kick something else on. And you can't really control that. You can only do what you can do. I think, you know, for me, it's very difficult with Kit, for example, because he's like 90% sausage, 10% chocolate digestive biscuits. And yeah. that is, I worked so hard for nearly 4 years on trying to introduce, and now I'm like, I must have wasted like £50,000 worth of fruit and vegetables over the last however many years, because every time I just open up his lunchbox, he just hasn't touched any of them, and I have to get them in clever ways. But I think that's a lot of people's reality, even if you do start off in the right way.
Yeah.
Once you've had a fish finger dunked in ketchup at a kid's party, why would you ever want to go back to a paleo pancake? Like, it's difficult for them, isn't it?
It is. And I was going to say, so if anyone who's been listening to the podcast for a couple of years will go back to when I first started weaning Gigi,
yes.
And I was like, oh my God, she eats everything. She's amazing. Yeah. She's a, well, now she basically has the appetite of a sparrow. And I open her lunchbox and she's made two little nibbles into something and a couple of nibbles into something else. And she'll have pizza and only eat the topping, or avocado on toast and only eat the avocado on the top. Like, she has zero appetite. And I think had that have been my first, I'd be really worried about it, because, you know, it's really important. Like, food is our fuel, right? And so I think, oh my God, like, she's going to get sick. She's going to, all of this stuff's going to happen. But because it's my second, and I sort of think, you know what? I'm not going to put pressure on it, because I don't want to put anything onto her. Like, I don't want to be forcing her. Then food becomes a real issue. I'm just letting her go with it for now. I mean, if it goes on for, you know, longer, I'll look at other things. But for now, I'm like, you know what?
Could be just a phase. Yeah.
That's it. And they go through so many phases, don't they, as well? Like, some, I think a couple of weeks ago, Clara was so off food. And I thought, I'm not going to panic, because it is just some, it's just like a little phase she's going through. You know, if she's hungry, she will eat things. And then she ended up getting like quite a bad cold and this stuff. And luckily, when I was making food, I was like, right, I'm just going to bang it all in the freezer, because, you know, I don't think it's because she doesn't want this. I think she's just, yeah, a bit of a phase, not feeling great, whatever. And then like a couple of weeks later, she's then sort of having it again or whatever. But I think parents put so much pressure on, like,
oh my God, yeah,
on themselves and the kids, that everything has to be perfect. And like some days we may make a big family meal and she'll have that. And then the next days she may like have fish fingers and, you know, or whatever. I just think we have to, it's like this, I find it in everything, not just to do with the weaning stuff, but it's like this like perfect parent. I think, especially when you're like, you are this first time parent as well. It's like, there is so much out there of like how things should be and what they are. And I just think like parents don't need that. Like, our mental health is like put to the test, isn't it? When you become a parent. And we've all got so many things going on that it's just like, just need to give ourselves a break.
Tessa, this is why we started Made by Mamas. This is exactly why we started it, to like bust the lid on perfect parenting, which is just complete bullshit. And actually, we're all in the same boat together.
Yeah. I love the stuff you girls talk about. And I think you do some like such relatable posts. Like, I think you were saying there was one the other day that was on, it was on Rage. I don't know if you remember when you wrote that post, but it was on Rage. And I just thought, like, I found lockdown, like, it's been it's been a really weird time, but I think it's there's parts of it with motherhood that has been really lonely. And I've had like, I had a lot of friends who have like, I don't, you guys, I think you even had Chessie on here, didn't you? Chessie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's been one of my best friends for years, and she's her daughter now is like 5 months, but a lot of my friends have been like that kind of age. So when I had Clara, I had one of my really good friends who had a son who was a year older than Clara. So I learned so much from her. Like that initial, I don't even remember, but it's like when you do that Google search of like probably 20 to 30 things I Googled, I think, in the first couple of weeks becoming a parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was like, and then I sort of quite heavily relied on my friend Sam, because I was like, did Albie ever have this or whatever? And it's like a bit of reassurance. But I just think like you kind of get quite, like obviously it's such a fulfilling time, but it's quite a lonely time as well. And I think like what you two girls have created, and like your posts and talking about like, you know, loneliness and all these different topics, like they're so relatable and so helpful for parents.
Well, thank you for saying that, Tessa. It's really nice. You know what? And it's interesting because until you have your kids, really, you can be there to support and you can listen to your friends. But when you get put in that position where you've got this tiny human that you're completely responsible for, that you love, you know, wholeheartedly, but pushes you right to the edge. I had a friend around the other day and she was like, I read your post on rage. And I was like, yeah, I wanted to smash my head against the window. Like I wanted to do that in that moment. Like I wasn't going to do it. The kids were there, but I wanted to for a minute, because you don't know what that feeling is like where they're just like, oh, inside
everything.
You and they're ripping you apart. Not intentionally, but it's happening. And I think it's really important to say that, because who can you really say that to? You need somebody to look at you and go, I hear you. I'm with you. Yeah. I understand you.
And also as well, I loved it. I loved that one especially because I'd read a post a little while ago with this. I don't know if it was a bit more of like a... But, oh, I don't know, not like holistic-y kind of earthy parenting, but it was a bit sort of like, you should always stay very calm. And if you feel rage, then you should like see someone about it. And I was like, I think
you
like,
see someone every day.
I'd be in therapy every day. Exactly. Yeah.
And I think it was like, it was over sleep. I literally had like a head banging, like just fucking sleep. Like otherwise I'm going to jump out the window, like that kind of moment. And I remember this post and I was like, I can't have those thoughts. Like that's not okay to be feeling that. So then it was like, when I then saw yours, it was like the very same time. And I thought, oh, thank God, like, no, it's normal and it's okay. You know, you can feel it and you're not a bad parent or you're not the only one. Cause actually usually what things like that when you're going through, so like everyone else, aren't they?
Yeah. And also, do you know what? Over the last 2 years, you sort of touched on loneliness and stuff. And I think we've kind of missed these conversations because, you know, you might talk about rage with your friend over a coffee who you see 10 minutes after you've had that meltdown. But because we didn't have those interactions for 2 years, so many people were feeling so alone, because it might just be a passing comment like, oh gosh, you should have seen me this morning. This happened. And then it would be done and you'd have spoken about it. You'd have shared it with a friend and then you'd moved on. But because, we haven't had those sort of small conversations, and that might not be something you'd necessarily pick up the phone and phone a mate and tell.
Yeah, exactly. Or even like going into like your local coffee shop and someone's like, how are you this morning? And it's like, I've had a fucking nightmare morning, but it's all good. Like, I'm going to have coffee and get on with my day. Do you know what I mean? It's like even those sort of things, you're just sort of, and especially when you're at home, you know, there's a lot that sort of things sort of play on your mind. You're like, I can't just get out and, you know, do my normal life and be really busy. And like those little things can sometimes get to you, aren't they?
I love that we're talking about it today. I think it's really brilliant. Where can people buy your book?
So it's on my website. So it's mrstessakelly.com. It's on there. And I just hope, like, I wanted an ebook, so it's just really easy, like accessible to hopefully as many people that they can, like, they get into bed, have a cup of tea and just read a little bit of it. And I just hope that it is a relatable and helpful
And if your child keeps picking up the stuff that you're putting on their like their high chair and they're just chucking it on the floor, it is okay to go to your child, fuck you. and then take it away and start again tomorrow.
Absolutely.
It is okay.
And it's literally every child, like my dog, he's a sausage dog and he's like a beast, thanks
the
to
best
Clara.
Fed sausage dog.
Oh God, yeah, yes.
He's literally like loving life since we've started.
That's amazing.
Number one weaning tip, get a dog to move it all up.
I said that to my friend Millie. She was saying, so she was like, Tess, like, what do I do? Sienna keeps doing this. And I was just like, so many of her things. And I thought, right, okay. I was like, bar my like all three book side of the advice I'm going to give you as well, I was like, just get a dog.
Yeah.
Get a dog.
Yes. Number one
keeps the place really clean.
Before we go, can we get your five favourite products?
Yes, you can. And because of my baby brain, I've written them down.
Yay, she's prepared. We love a well-prepared guest.
We can bang them out. So a practical bag, a backpack. Now, I think that is really... Now, I used to be that girl at school that kind of would just have everything in quite a cool bag and just wouldn't be wearing a backpack because... and now I understand why so many of my friends did it. One, because it saves your back. And it's just so like wherever I am, I always have so many bags that now I just have this backpack and I just put everything in for Clara. So whenever we go to the pub, for a roast, whatever, I can just like, literally I'm like Mary Poppins from this bag. Teething. Now we had this quite badly. I don't know. I feel like most parents do. They go through a stage and it's like never ending, isn't it? With these horrible teeth coming through. So we loved Matchstick Monkey. And also Cheeky Chomper.
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah. And it's a really cool, like little, like a bib. It just goes around their neck, like a kind of a, and at the bottom of the bib, it has a teether, like chewy thing on. And Clara loved those. So, but I think like just find which one works for you and then buy like 100.
Is it the Matchstick Monkey one? Isn't that one of the dragons? Isn't that his?
I think you're right, actually. Yeah, it
really?
Is.
The little toothbrush on it. Yeah, I think it's Tuca Solomon. It's Tuca Solomon.
Yes!
It started by a lady called Katie, who's a mum to three. Right. And then she went on to Dragon's Den, I think. And then they teamed up together and they are Matchstick Monkey. Oh, and they are brilliant. And we use them a lot as well.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? When you find the one that works, you're just like, from that first tooth, you're like, this is what is staying.
This is it.
Like, yeah, it seems to last them for ages, doesn't it? And also shut them up a bit when the teeth, because I don't know about you guys, but the teething stuff, you know, there's so many on the market. I really found like there was not many that actually worked.
It can be difficult.
And a sleeping bag. There's a company called Pure Earth Collection that I've worked with them for a while, and they basically, their sleeping bags are all about sustainability, and they have one that's from like, they last from 3 months to 3 years. So it's kind of like they have to keep buying them. And they are a really just gorgeous little company. It's all about like organic and like these like bamboo fiber and all round sleeping bags. So find
and they last from 3 months to 3 years.
Yeah, they're amazing.
That's really good, isn't it? Because they do grow out of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're basically like all season. So they can be from like 13 degrees to like a, I don't know, 25 degree room or something. It's like thermoregulating. It's all quite like technology, that's not the right word. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And a baby shusher. So like I sweared by the baby shusher and the white noise.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The one, because before I was like, shh, and I was like, I'm going to pass out in a minute. Like, and she loved the shushing. But this baby shusher one we had, it was like, it would stay on for 30 seconds. So it kind of got them into that like deep sleep. And then it just shut off after that. And I thought that was fab. I was like, need to stop using it because it was just such a part of the bedtime routine that worked. I didn't want to stop it. But I did a couple of months ago. And she has been fine since.
Yeah, well done.
It is hard once
pull
you get into those things. Yeah.
What else? So a bath thermometer, like so simple, but it's like that guessing game. Like sometimes I think Clara's winding me up. She's like, I put her in her toe and she's like, hot, hot. So then I'm like panicking. And I'm like, oh, where is that bath thermometer? So I found that saved a lot of like time and just stress of like worrying if it was okay and just being like, right, it's fine. Like just, don't have to worry. Something you don't have to worry about in the day.
Nice.
And a final thing is a baby carrier. Because that's an essential, isn't it? For like, apparently you've got more than one to be able to have your hands free, and
it is definitely an essential when you have your second, For sure.
A million percent.
Because then you can, yeah, you can be hands-free in the park and you can do all the things without carting a buggy around.
And just before we say bye, could you please give us the best piece of advice that you've ever been given from somebody, or a piece of advice that you would pass on to a new parent?
Okay, so I would say everything is a phase, and people said it to me, like, I think even before I had Clara, that you will find that, like, everything is a phase and every day is a new day. And I think out of all the advice, that's probably been the best bit that has kind of kept me sane. And some days of thinking, oh God, like, when is this going to end, or this sleep regression going to end, or when am I going to feel human again? But it always does. And then you feel great. So it's like, oh, was a phase.
Write it out on a piece of paper and stick it on your fridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Tessa, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute treat to chat
thank
to you.
You so much for
Tessa's
me.
Book is available to buy now online. So go, and come back and see us soon.
Thanks, Tessa.
Oh, thanks so much, ladies.
Do you know what is so weird, that we all had glandular fever? Because yeah. I don't really know that many people who had it. And it's just, we don't think we've even spoken about that before, have we?
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I don't think so. It happened such a long time ago, but I definitely felt the ripple effects of it for a really long time afterwards. But I've always, as a result of it, just turned to Chinese medicine because I believe in it. It works for me. You know, obviously healthcare professionals listening and doctors might not, and that's fine. But I have really seen the benefits from it. And it's definitely, my immunity is much, much, much stronger now as a result of the acupuncture and various other bits and pieces that I've done. Kind of Eastern medicine, I suppose.
Yeah, I see. I think for me, it just taught me to like know my limits. So yes. I had glandular fever when I was sort of 15, 16, yeah. where your mates are just starting to go, you know, maybe get into clubs with fake ID, and, you know, do that kind of thing, And I knew I should have been able to do like three nights in a row when I was 16 and 17, but I couldn't. It would completely wipe me out, and I'd be so poorly. And I think it did just teach me that I know where my, you know, sort of limits are at. And even now, like, or actually not so much now because my life is a lot quieter and slower now. But when I was working, you know, 5 days a week in London, you could go out every night of the week. There was always someone to have drinks with. There was always a social occasion. But I always knew that I had to have like two nights a week at home, or I had to set aside two nights a week to go to the gym or something like that. And actually, like, I've kind of carried that on now. I really try not to have like social plans every night of the weekend.
Oh God, no.
And if I do, I really feel the burnout. So I think, I guess that's what I learned from it. It's just like trying to, I guess, just looking after your health, really, when it comes down to it.
It's a subject that when you become a parent, you don't necessarily put at the forefront. You know, when do you ever go, oh, actually, you know, I won't do that for my little one because I need to look after me. You just keep going and going and going on this hamster wheel until you are completely burnt out. I mean, we've had these chats with, you know, Anna Mather on the podcast before, for example, and you don't ever get off. And I think, yeah, sometimes you need a bit of a check to check yourself. And actually, Dylan and I were talking about this the other day, because him and I are massive party animals. I mean, we get the green light, like, oh, you know, the kids might go and stay with my sister. And as opposed to going to like a spa, we will go out and we'll stay up till bloody 3-4 o'clock in the morning doing tequila shots in the kitchen.
And
feel worse the next day. And I'm like, why do we do this? And I actually wrote in my phone the other day that I'm only going to do things that serve my soul now completely. I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And actually, because our health is all we've got. And you keep hearing these stories about, you know, these tragic stories about, you know, people our age, you know, women getting breast cancer, and, you know, creative director of Louis Vuitton, he died yesterday, 41 of cancer. It's like, it's frightening. Like, we don't know how long we've got. And I think maybe it's quite a good lesson to be like, right, let's slow down and save the partying for a minimum.
Do you know what?
Who even am
I? But I don't even think it's about like not partying. I think it's just about not doing things that you're dreading, because sometimes you feel like you have to go on all these nights out, or you, especially at Christmas, when you're coming up to Christmas, you feel like you've got to take the kids to Santa, and then you've got to go on to a fairground, and then you've got to go here, and then you've got to go there, and you've also got to see all of your friends before Christmas, and you've got to have loads of drinks, and you've got to have so much fun. And actually we end up dreading it so much, like, oh my gosh, we've got so many plans. And I think we just have to, yeah, you're right. You just have to do things that you actually want to do. Like that, and that's what it comes down to.
But you know we're parents, so you know we have to do stuff all the time that
I don't want to go to bloody soft play and I don't really want to go and see Santa, but I will because it's wholesome and it's not, you know, I'm not going to get a hangover.
It serves your soul. It serves your soul.
Exactly.
Yeah. As always, thank you so much for kind of engaging with the podcast and being a part of it. We would absolutely love you to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow as well, because that just means that you will never miss an episode. That would be great.
Yeah, please do. And if you've seen anyone amazing on Instagram or on the TV or just anyone that's got a good story that you think would, you know, be up for chatting to us on the podcast, then please drop us a message. We're on @MadeByMamas and we'll be back on Friday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.